Krishna Balabha Nidivana Dari. Kope Jana Balabha Nidivana Dari. Yasoda Nandana Vrijajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vrijajana Ranjana Jamunti Ravanakari Jamunti Ravanakari Punjabi Hare Kope Jana Balabha Jivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Vrijajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Jarada Madhava Punjabi Hare Kope Jana Balabha Divana Dari Yasoda Nandana Vrijajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vrijajana Jarada Madhava Punjabi Hare Punjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Padipa Jikachara Sita Tashish Minister Divine Grace Abhaya Charan Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON DBT Founder Chaya Jiga Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Guru Vaishnavrinda Ki Nam Chaya Srila Haridasa Kuru Ki Prem Shri Gaur Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Govakta Vindike Se Sri Hare Krishna Gopina Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mathura Dham Ki Tokya Dham Ki Navari Dham Ki Jagannapuri Dham Ki Jamuna Maya Ki Ganga Maya Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tamvira Bhakta Vindike Srila Prabhupada Ki Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari Ki Sri Sri Gornatai Ki Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Gopremanandi All glories to the Sum of Devotees All glories to the Sum of Devotees All glories to the Sum of Devotees All glories to the Divine Lord Sita Sri Sri Guru and Goranga Krishna Sadamo Pakate Damagana Dibi Saha Kalana Sadashami Shaprana Kona Lodita Narana Namaskichanaram Chaivam Narotama Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. The Bhagavatam is brilliant as the sun. It is arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied with knowledge, religion, etc. Persons who have lost their vision to the dense darkness of the age of Kali should get light out of this Purana. Before beginning our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should first offer respects to the personality of God in Narayan, to the Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, the goddess of living, Mother Saraswati, the author, Srila Vyasadeva, and my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So my assumption is that we are reading from the fourth canto, chapter 20, text 30. On the board it says 31. Alrighty, so be it. Tvan mayayada jana isha kandito yad anyad asasta kritatmano buddha yata chared bala itam pita svayam tata tvam evharsi na samihitum tvan maya yada jana isha kandito yadan yada sastaritatmano buddha yata charet bala hitam pita svayam tata tvamivarhasi na samihitum tvan maya yada jana isha kandito yaranya asastaritatmano buddha yata charet bala hitam pita svayam tata tvamivarhasi na samihitum. Kandito yadan yada sastaritatmano buddha yata charet bala hitam pita svayam tata tvamivarasi na samihitum. Matajis. Tat, your Maya, by illusory energy. Adha, certainly. Jana, the people in general. Isa, oh my Lord. Kandita, separated. Yat, because. Anyat, others. Ashasti. They desire. Rita. Real. Atmana. From the self. Abuddha. Without proper understanding. Yata. As. Charet. Would engage in. Balahitim. The welfare of one's child. Pita. The father. Swayam. Personally. Swayam. That we said. Tata. Similarly. Tvam. Your lordship. Eva. Certainly. Arhasina samihitum. Please act on my behalf. Is it possible to get a little water? Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Translation. Oh my Lord, due to your illusory energy, all living beings in this material world have forgotten their real constitutional position. And out of ignorance, they are always desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship, and love. Therefore, please do not ask me to take some material benefits from you. But as a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son, please bestow upon me whatever you think is best for me. Also you say, O my Lord, due to your illusory energy, all living beings in this material world have forgotten their real constitutional position. And out of ignorance, they are always desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship, and love. Therefore, please do not ask me to take some material benefits from you. But as a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son, please bestow upon me whatever you think best for me. Why, thank you, Prabhu. And is the traditional standard, there's a giant tulsi leaf. So when I drink this, it'll probably spill all over me. But it just shows my nature. Purport. It is the duty of the son to depend upon the father without asking anything from him. The good son has faith that the father knows best how to benefit him. Similarly, a pure devotee does not ask anything from the Lord for material benefit, nor does he ask anything for spiritual benefit. The pure devotee is fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord takes charge of him, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Aham tam sarva papebhyo mokshishami. The Father knows the necessities of the Son and supplies them, and the Supreme Lord knows the necessities of the living entities and supplies them sumptuously. Therefore, the Ishopanishad states that everything in the material world is complete, purnamidam. The difficulty is that due to forgetfulness, the living entities create unnecessary demands and entangle themselves in material activities. The result is that there's no end to material activities life after life. Before us, there are varieties of living entities, and everyone is entangled in the transmigration and activities. Our duty is simply to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and let Him take charge, for He knows what is good for us. Prithu Maharaj, therefore, tells the Lord that as the Supreme Father, he may elect to bestow whatever he considers beneficial for Prithu Maharaj. That is the perfect position of the living entity. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us in Shikshastika, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagat Ishva Kamaye Mama Janani Jamani Ishvare Bhavate Bhaktir Ahituki Twayi. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor have I any desire to enjoy beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. The conclusion is that the pure devotee should not aspire for any material benefit from devotional service, nor should he be enamored by fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. He should always be engaged favorably in the service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection. Om agena tamarandasya agena agena sakaya jakshushamitan gena tasmeshi gurudeva namaha. I am always a little embarrassed in these positions when I have so many senior saintly persons who can speak much more accurately than me. And especially I'm speaking after Radhanath Maharaj. Actually, it should be the other way around. I should speak and then he should speak after me to purify the atmosphere. But a bird flies in the sky according to its ability, so by your mercy, may I say something valuable. Hare Krishna. We are talking here about prayers and benedictions. And the premise is, or the basis is, I want something. But if we're actually honest, I remember one of the first devotees I met. I asked him how he became a devotee. He said, I became a self-realized fool. I didn't know avadhuta, I didn't know what he meant. What he actually meant was, I realized that I'm a fool. That I really don't know anything. So, if we take an honest, what do they say, diagnosis is 90% the cure? If we actually analyze our real situation, I want this, I want that, I have so many ideas, even in devotional service, Krishna do this, Krishna do that, if only this happened. We had one man who used to visit the temple, it's a long story, short version. He had been through a very rough life. One of the devotees was saying, if only I had done this. You know, because we're thinking, oh, I went this way and it didn't work. If only I'd gone that way, it would have worked. So this old man said, you know, son, there's more than one way to be wrong. In other words, we think if I'd done that, no, that may also have blown up on our face, you know? So if one comes to the point that actually Prabhupada heard a jai. This will go on for some time. Prabhupada heard a machine, truck. Prabhupada said, what is this? And the devotee explained that it was a dumpster, one of those big trucks that picks up all the trash. Prabhupada said, actually the whole material world should go in this thing. And I heard Prabhupada say, because we're attracted, certainly myself, to so many things in this world. I heard Prabhupada say, actually the demigods will not even come and pass urine on this planet. Yeah, we're thinking, oh, it's such a nice place, you know? So, I was reading that beautiful book from the Indian BBT, that's the Divine Shower of Compassion, and there's the one poem in there where Prabhupada really goes, riffs, as they say. He takes the same principle. When the living entity says, I am fine. The man is in the hospital, he's taking bitter medicine, he's being shot with a needle, so many things. And they ask him, how are you? He says, oh, today I am fine. So if we analyze our actual position, we are thinking, Prabhupada said, good morning. You know, this, you're on a morning walk. You can hear on the tape, Prabhupada's on a morning walk. He's in England, actually. And, you know, Prabhupada reciprocating with the British civility. The man says, good morning. Prabhupada says, oh, good morning back. You hear several times. Evidently, he's walking past some people, villagers. They're saying good morning. Prabhupada's saying good morning back. Then there's a little break. Prabhupada's just with the devotees. Prabhupada asks, do you know what this good morning means? Prabhupada said, this good morning means nothing horrible has happened yet. So if we analyze our actual situation, what is this world? There was a young man. It was a little snippet in the papers, and the devotees sent it to me. This young man, office worker, he used to be a courier. He was a young man. He was going between floors carrying different messages. And he used to like to ride in the elevators because there were so many so-called beautiful women. And he would be able to flirt with the women, and they were chit-chat. And this way he was enjoying his job very much. One day, the elevator got stuck. Even in America, these things happen. And he was stuck in the elevator for 18 hours with four beautiful women. He said it was fun for the first hour. Then, you know, all the bodily functions start to happen. The fan shuts off, the air conditioning goes, the makeup begins to run. He said that after 8 hours, it was a nightmare. My point being, this beautiful body, but what is it really? This wonderful world, but what is it really? So before we think about Prabhupada was in the you can hear in the tape, it's during the Bangladesh War. And evidently Prabhupada's speaking, and they have a blackout. You know, when they shut the lights out? I guess for air raid or something like that. They shut the lights out. So just so I end on time, it's for your benefit. So you hear the lights go out, and this young lady reporter, she says, "Oh, Swamiji, Swamiji, do you have some words of solace for us in this time of trouble?" Prabhupada says, "So if the bombing stops, then you're safe?" I heard Prabhupada read a man's palm one time. I saw Prabhupada read a man. The man asked, "Swamiji, can you read my palm?" Prabhupada said, "We don't do these things." And he began to describe that we simply depend on, you know, like that, Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. We just, you know, we don't care for these things. Prabhupada finished his explanation. The man said, "Swamiji, can you read my palm?" Prabhupada said, "All right, give me your hand." It's actually quite blissful. We were thinking, we'll get in queue and Prabhupada could read our palm too. Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was an expert actor also. So Prabhupada clicked on his desk lamp, took the man's hand. Prabhupada's looking. You know how they push the hand to look at the lines? And then Prabhupada said, "All bad." He said, "Birth, death, disease, and old age." I thought the man was going to have a heart attack, you know, because Prabhupada was so heavy. And then Prabhupada said, "But you clap your hands at kirtan, all the lines go away." So really, what is our fate? It is simply birth, death, disease, old age. You know, what is this body? It is simply Rukmini describes it very nicely. You know, I won't go into the details because breakfast is coming. But you know the purport of what is this body actually? Simply decorated with a mustache. That's all it is. So just to nail this point, another thing, this same brahmachari that told me he was a self-realized fool, he told me, he said, you know, because I was living in Laguna Beach, materially it's the Nandananda Gardens, everything is very nice, I was a young man, a healthy body, now I have a different realization. And I was thinking, I'm in a great spot. My whole life lays in front of me. It is simply a buffet, I can choose whatever I like, go this way, that's all good fortune is in front of me. And the devotee said, "You know one thing about this world?" Because I was explaining my view. He said, I said, "No." He said, "No one gets out alive." I thought, these devotees are so heavy, but it's true. No one gets out of this world alive. I saw a bumper sticker, and not to pick on Christians, we can learn some things from them, no doubt. But there's a Christian bumper sticker. You know, they say born again. Somebody must have been reading our books. The bumper sticker said born again and again and again. So I was thinking, what is this world? What is this body? That's my point. The living entity is described in the Bhagavatam by his activities is simply like the silkworm that creates the cocoon, and the man comes, and it's actually the cause, because the silk merchant comes and takes it. That cocoon he creates is his very cause of death. So all of our activities, what is the result of these things? I was at a wedding the other day. I just want to establish this. We'll move on in just a sec. But I was at a wedding, and you know how they ride on a horse quite often? So one man turned to me, a married man. This is something that only married people can speak. So the married man said, you see him riding on the horse, nice turban, so many things. They said, king for a day, slave for the rest of his life. And all the householder men nodded their head. Yes, they agreed. And Prabhupada's joke, Prabhupada said that a marriage is just like a fort, like a big fortress. Anyone know why? Half the people want to get in, half the people want to get out. So if one takes an honest analysis of this world, what is it really? So before we offer a prayer, what is this world and what is this body? Who are we? What's in our real self-interest? Diagnosis being 90% of the cure. I'm sure they have lotteries here, government lotteries, you give some money, you can win. I saw an article, devotees kindly send me these things now. They come unsought often. Both in the state of Massachusetts, just like you have so many states of India, America, there's so many states. So in the state of Massachusetts has a lottery, the state of Michigan has a lottery. And these are people who won in U.S. dollars, millions of dollars, $30 million, $120 million. And they interviewed them. They interviewed them
And believe it or not, 79% said they wished they'd never won the money. Millions of dollars. They began to describe that, my wife got cosmetic surgery and ran off with the doctor, and I developed a drinking problem, and all these dimwit relatives came out of the woodwork, and, just so much, I was so much happier when I was just, whatever was happening beforehand. So they give all the narrations of the different stories. Now we will say, again, another bumper sticker. It says, those who say money can't buy happiness don't know where to shop. We're thinking, those people may not have been happy, but if I'd gotten the money, I would have known what to do with it. The previous purport has a very nice line. It says, the sufferings of the threefold miseries are the same for all. The sufferings of the threefold miseries are the same for all. Whether you're Lord Indra, whether you're Birla, whether you're Bill Gates, whoever you are, the suffering for all living entities, the threefold miseries, Durga with her prong, Adi Bhautik, Adi Daivik, Adi Atmik, they are there for everyone. I remember sitting with Ambarish, our Alfred Ford, and the saying came up, what is that? Money cannot buy happiness. The same point of the lottery. And Ambarish turned to me and he said, those who don't have money hope that this is true. Because if it isn't true, if you need money to be happiness, they're up a creek. So those who don't have money hope that money can't buy happiness. And then he turned to me in the most serious way and he said, those who have money know that it's not true. So talk to this man, millions of dollars, before he became a devotee, none of it made happiness. So I was flying in Krishna service from New York City to Puerto Rico. I swear to you, in the airport in New York, as you're going, through the terminal, there's a big poster. It says, going nuts in this city. Noise, confusion, so much, so hectic. And it's a picture of the beautiful Caribbean islands. It says, go to Puerto Rico. Peace, quiet, serenity. Looked good to me, Of course I'm a devotee, but anyway, trying to be a devotee. When I arrived in Puerto Rico, I swear to you, in the airport was a big poster. Going nuts on this little island with nothing to do, go to New York where the action is. And I remember scratching my head thinking, well, hang on a sec, I was in New York, now I'm in Puerto Rico, it's a 6,000 miles. Was it 3,000 miles at 30,000 feet? Was happiness, and I whizzed past it? What happened, I didn't see it. So the point is that when I was a kid, this will show the savagery of childhood life in America. Sometimes you would slap someone on the back, pat them on the back, a friend and a schoolmate, and you'd have a little sign that would say, kick me, or I'm an idiot, or whatever, And the person, unbeknownst to them, would wear this sign on their back. They do this also. Cruelty is all pervasive, so it's also happening in India, right? The person is walking around with this sign on their back all day long without realizing it. And I'll make the point in a second, in America, to shame the prisoners, they have all these big macho prisoners, and they can do so many things. They've tried, to get them to cooperate. And they put them in solitary confinement. They've done so many things. You know what they found actually works? They make them wear a prison suit with pink flowers on it. And these big guys are so embarrassed to be in this pink clown suit that they'll do anything just so they don't have to wear the suit. We're walking around in these bodies. This collapsible contraption full of flaws in this material world, asking for material benedictions, it should breed humility. We should become humble. We should think, I don't know what I want. I have so many plans, so many desires, so many aspirations. Krishna, give me this, give me that, but I don't actually know anything. Let me just surrender. Let me just become humble. That's my point. In that humble spirit, Prabhupada describes in Nectar of Devotion, we have inadvertently, sometimes even unintentionally, called out, Hey Govinda, Krishna, please save me. We have a bhakta who was going to commit suicide. I will not mention his name. He's an initiated devotee now, nice devotee. He'd actually come to the conclusion that this whole world is futile. What is the use? People were telling, just take Prozac, everything will be all right. Just up your meds and you'll be all right. He was in his car, ready to commit suicide. He actually had the hose, you know, a hose coming from the back of his car, his van, he was in a van, filling the car with carbon monoxide. You know, the car was running, fumes were coming out, windows rolled up. He would be dead in an hour or two. He'd made this plan. What is the use of this world? And he called out in the core of his heart, if there is God, if there is any purpose in life, show me now. Otherwise, I'm checking out. It's now or never. Just then, a Sankirtan devotee knocked on the window. And the devotee, you know, kidding, the guy in the car, excuse me, you know, no, can't you see I'm busy? Not now. So the devotee, you know, inspired by Krishna within the heart, slipped a, I don't know whether it's changing body or science of stuff, I don't know what it is, but you know, there's a windshield wiper, because the guy wouldn't roll down the window. So he slipped it on the inside, you know, on the mirror, and it was held by the windshield wiper, on the windshield glass. So the guy in the car thought, well, I'm going to die, I might as well read something while I'm going. Rolled down the window, took the book in, rolled the window back up, and began reading it. And he said, hang on a minute, I'm not crazy, this world is crazy. And as he read it, rolled down his window, saw the address, drove to the temple, became a devotee. It's a true story. All glories of the Sankirtan devotees. So the point I'm trying to make is, as he called out Hey Govinda, in his own way, we have also called out Hey Govinda. And then Krishna hears that call. And it says in the Nectar Devotion, even we may forget, like Ishupanishad, even though I may forget you, please don't forget me, the living entity prays. We come to devotional service. We try to become devotees. Because it's talking about the other sects of the Shikshastikam, you know, Nandanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, like that. If you go a little further, it says, you may crush me in your embrace. And sometimes Krishna does this. Because here it's saying, you do as the Father, you know what's good for me. I'm not asking for anything. You do what's good for me. And Krishna, we call out, Hey Govinda, you do what's good for me. And then Krishna begins. He does his surgery. And we say, whoa, 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 not that way. There's the famous prayer, I think it's by Saint Anthony. And he says, or Saint Augustine, excuse me, it's Saint Augustine. And he prays, Oh God, please give me celibacy. Just not yet. So we pray, I want to surrender to you, but just not yet. Or not in that way. Or I want to give up 80% of my desires. 20% I'll do when I'm an old man, like that. But Krishna has heard that call, Hey Govinda. Prabhupada said that his father told him that Krishna has 100 hands. We have 2 hands. If Krishna wants to take with his 100 hands, what can we do? Does anyone here know, this is Prabhupada's example, why the potter kneads the clay? You see the potter, before he makes the pot, he's kneading, he's working the clay, working, working, working. Why does the potter knead the clay? It's therapy, you know, he's working out his aggressions. What's the reason? Anyone want to hazard a guess? Yes, Prabhu. Ah, there's some impurities. There's some bubble, there's some stick. And if he doesn't get that out, at the time of firing, that air will expand and the thing will crack, or that stick, there'll be a fault line there. Similarly, what is it, Ante Narayana Smriti? At the time of death, everything is tested. And we have to be fixed at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is purifying our heart. We have to think, what do I want in this world? What is this body? Let me just surrender to Krishna. You do what you want to do. What's best for me? And then when he starts to do that in his own way, and he starts to cut those attachments that may be painful, we have to think, this is Krishna with his 100 hands, and it is good for me. Let me simply surrender. That's the point being made here. We should follow what is like Prabhupada says, half-hand logic. We should follow the full sequence of the logic. Certainly speaking for myself, we're praying to God. We're praying to Krishna. Now that assumes that Krishna, and we're not speaking out loud. We're not, what is it? Is it the Buddhists they tie on the trees, the prayers? Some people they throw into the fire and they think the smoke goes to heaven. But within our mind, we offer some prayer. And we assume two things. We may assume more, but at least two things we assume. We assume that A, Krishna knows our heart. Bhava Grihi Janardhanam. That Krishna knows our heart. We're making a prayer. Krishna knows that. Right? We assume that. He can read my heart. And we also assume that if he can read my heart, he can fulfill my prayer. If we don't have faith that Krishna can fulfill our prayer, then why would we be wasting our time offering a prayer, right? We have faith that he can hear it. We can have faith that he can fulfill it. But if Krishna knows our heart, even without our speaking it, if Krishna is very kindly disposed, what is it, Bhaktivatsal, Karuna Sindhu, if he's favorably inclined towards us, then what is the use of praying for something material? He knows our heart. He knows what we need. Why waste our time with this? Suppose the child, good parents, and the child comes home one night, the child's playing or the child's been at school, because it talks about like a father, like a child, son. So suppose the child says, oh dear, my father, can I spend the night here tonight? I promise I'll make my bed, I'll do all my chores, I'll do my homework, and I'll only ask one night, can I please spend the night tonight? And I'll do extra service, can I just eat, I'll only take one chapati, a little bit of khichdi. Can I eat here tonight, just tonight? What does the father think if he hears that kind of prayer from his son? What does he think? Is he happy to hear that prayer? He thinks, yes, I will give you two chapatis. He thinks, what has happened in the relationship? Why is my son thinking, it's a type of neurosis. That how is the child feeling like this? Of course, whatever you need, I'm providing. This is my happiness. Prabhupada gives the example of Chanaka Pandit. As soon as the child is born, the mother's breast fills with milk. Prabhupada talks about Purnam. Krishna's making a perfect arrangement for every living entity. We do not have to ask for these things. Rather, when we ask for these things, it is a disturbance to Krishna. Not a disturbance like, oh, he's burdened by too many requests. We have to put you on hold. Not that. But he's thinking, why is my living entity, why is my beloved son or daughter, of course the jiva, Purusha Prakriti, why is he thinking like this? So, we have to think, we're saying whatever is best for me. If your house is on fire, because we talk about samsara, house on fire, and I come to you, you say, oh, my house is on fire. I say, oh, and I give you a nice glass of ice water, to cool you, What is that? So what are these material prayers? What are these material desires? Prabhupada gives the example that if the person is on the bank, suppose you're pulling the barge, and you're walking, and they're walking barefoot, and there's so many sticks and stones and so many things. And if I pray to God, oh, if only I could get the darshan of Bhagavan, I would ask him that, could he line this bank with pillows? What kind of foolishness is this? Or the person is carrying the bundle of sticks on their head, and somehow they drop the sticks. You've all seen in the villages, it'll take two people to put the sticks back on because it's such a big bundle. Once it's on, no problem. So somehow that bundle falls off, and I'm all by myself. And I think, if only I could get the darshan of Krishna, he could put this bundle back on my head. Why? Why ask for something material? Why ask for something so fleeting and futile? Prabhupada quotes here from the 1866, just surrender to me. And the last line of that is Nasucha. And Prabhupada translates in the purport, do not hesitate, do not fear, do not worry. Don't hesitate, don't fear, don't worry. You just surrender to me. So this is not blind faith. The fact of the matter is, back to the point of, we have to make a choice. We are all putting our faith somewhere. We put our faith in our senses, we put our faith in our mind, we put our faith in whatever it may be. It used to be communism, because I'm supposed to share some stories about Prabhupada, and I like to do that. You may have heard, but there's Prabhupada's famous joke when Prabhupada was in the Moscow, the Red Square, Lenin's tomb is there, and everyone is lined up. Still, they're lined up, even now. It's there, you know, like the Muslims go to Mecca, we go to Vrindavan, the communists go to Lenin's tomb. Does anyone know why? This is Prabhupada liked this joke very much. Does anyone know why everyone's lined up at Lenin's tomb? To make sure he's dead. So whether you take shelter of Lenin, whether you take shelter of, you know, whoever the later Darwin or whatever it may be, our senses, our mind, I don't believe in anyone. I don't believe in anything. That you rascal, what you're actually saying is that you believe in your own intelligence, that you've discerned that everyone else is bogus and you will seek for your own intelligence. A college professor was saying to me one time, before his students, this is a prop, was saying that everything can be understood by sensual perception. If I can't see it, smell it, taste it, measure it, it doesn't exist. And he wanted to find a quote from a book. And he said, I just have to find my reading glasses. If I can just find my reading glasses. And his glasses were on his head. So even the students began to chuckle a little bit that this man was making the point that I can find everything with my senses, and he couldn't even find the glasses on his head. So the simple point I'm trying to make, the initial premise, is that we should just, it's not sentiment, it's not blind faith, it's not, if one admits a dependency, it is not necessarily a sign of weakness. You know, the devotees, they just depend on Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, they're just sentimentalists, I stand on my own 2 feet of intellectual pursuit. Suppose I admit that I'm dependent on air. Let's reverse it. Suppose I say to you, you're all breathing air, but I am not going to depend on air. I am a self-made man. Well, okay, watch. How long am I going to make it? You know, good luck, Badri. So to admit that I'm dependent on air is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of common sense. So to admit that we are dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada was talking to this one man, Stephen Miller, one of the top biophysicists in America at the time. And he was saying, we're going to create life. Prabhupada said, fine, take a dead man, bring him back to life. Oh, we can't do that yet. Prabhupada said, fine, then take a fly, make me a fly. No, couldn't make a fly. Prabhupada said, all right, make me a blade of grass. Couldn't do that. Prabhupada said, make me one drop of milk. Couldn't do that. Prabhupada was like, even the man became a little humbled at that point, you know, big talk. So to admit that we are dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord at every step is not sentiment. It is actual intelligence. It is not weakness. It is honesty. So in that humble, honest position, we call out, Hey Govinda, then let him do what he is here to do. Let it bring us back home, back to Godhead. I guess we have time. Again, we have a choice. And if we measure, because it is an act of faith, no doubt about it. What is the caliber of the persons who surrendered to Krishna? I mean, Krishna says in the Gita, Sita, Devala, Narada, Vyasa, he gives his litany of saintly persons who've surrendered to Krishna. Shivaram Maharaj told me a nice historical narrative that you may know that Emperor Akbar, now Akbar at the time, his kingdom went all the way from Afghanistan to Burma. When the Western Europe was in the Dark Ages, they thought that bathing caused disease. The free education, free so many things, such a sophisticated kingdom. So powerful, such a historical personality, he met Rupa Goswami by the banks of the Jamuna. And after that darshan, that meeting, Akbar, he wanted to give something, you know, Ishwar above, let me give some blessing. And he was a little proud, naturally. At least he had something to be proud. We're proud, we have nothing to be proud about. At least he had something to be proud about. He was a little proud. So he said, let me give you something, some villages, some cows, some pile of gold. Rupa Goswami, understanding his nature, a little puffed up, he said, you know, can you just fix this railing for me? And there was a bathing ghat going down to the Jamuna, and there was a railing. So Akbar thought, you know, I'm Akbar. I built Fatehpur Sikri. And you're asking me to repair some railing? You know, I built the Red Fort. Who are you to ask, you know? And Rupa Goswami gave him spiritual vision. Story from Shivram Marsh. Gave him spiritual vision. And it, for a second, Akbar could see all of Vrindavan and Chintamani Dham. And he made a quick calculation. He saw that railing with all of its jewels. And he realized that in his treasury, there were not enough jewels to repair that simple railing. And he had to say to Rupa Goswami, I cannot do it. So, whatever we may be, that simple humility, that my point is that such personalities, Rupa Goswami, the six Goswamis, they have surrendered to Krishna. The do whatever you think is best for me, it says. We should have confidence that that will give us the best happiness. We're going to end here. That will give us the greatest happiness. If we measure, Prabhupada says, what is it in the Gita? Without a controlled mind, you can't have happiness. Oh, you can't have peace. And without peace, there's no question of happiness. There's that continuum there, or sequence. So someone was saying to Srila Prabhupada, oh, they're so opulent in America. Prabhupada said, what is that opulence? They don't have the opulence of one moment's peace. And ultimately, there is the fear of death. There's always eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and sometimes Prabhupada describes that defending as fearing. So I was thinking of Srila Prabhupada's fearlessness. How in every condition, he was completely surrendered to Krishna and completely fearless. There's this story as a householder, when I think the Japanese army was coming up and bombing Calcutta, and everyone was fleeing for the bunkers, and Prabhupada was thinking, Prabhupada says, oh, I just made some nice khichdi and puris. So he said, well, let me offer this to Krishna, and if the bomb comes, let it come. Let me just offer to Krishna and take my nice prasadam. So he was fearless. We know the story at the time of death. Srila Prabhupada was eating practically nothing. I think a little charnamrita Prabhupada was taking. And Dr. Karana, Naveen Krishna's father, he came with a group of doctors from Delhi, all in their black ambassadors. They came and saw Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was lying like Bhishma Dev on his bed of arrows. This is about 10 days before Prabhupada left this world. There was no fatty tissue. The skin was pushing right on the bones. Dr. Karana told me personally, an ordinary man would have been writhing in pain. Dr. Karana comes in. He's shocked because he'd seen Prabhupada, you know, in the past, roaring like a lion, you know. He was shocked to see Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked him, oh, how are you? You must be tired from traveling so far. Please take a little rest, take some prasadam, then come back and see me. Dr. Karana is a very sober man. He began to cry. He thought, such a person. I am the doctor coming to give him relief. I am relatively healthy. I am doing fine. But, you know, in our sense of fine. And here is this saintly person. He's asking, how am I doing? What is my condition? He actually began to cry. So Prabhupada's fearlessness, even in the face of death. Voltaire called for a priest. And Srila Prabhupada asked, there's that story, Prabhupada was in New York. The devotees were begging Prabhupada, please just come to Gita Nagari. Just rest for a month or two. Prabhupada comes down, the elevator opens, the kirtan is there. Prabhupada's pushed aside everyone's request to just stay. He turned to the devotees and said, I want the benediction to fight like Arjuna until my last breath. And you see Srila Prabhupada on his disappearance bed in Vrindavan. They're holding the microphone over his mouth. He's narrating, translating, purporting Brahman Mohan Leela until his last breath. So such a person, completely fearless at the time of death. Just two more stories about fearlessness and we'll finish. On a more humorous side, I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada with Lakeshore Park in Chicago. We're walking along, very nice. So many nice things were happening. But one nice part of it. Out of one of these, all rich houses, out of one of these houses, this dog came running down the driveway. This dog was a clone of Aristasura. The thing was huge. It was a beast. and it was snarling and came charging down this driveway. It was every man for himself. You know, I jumped behind Brahmananda with about four other people. We could all fit behind him. You know, a couple people behind cars. Everybody panicked. Prabhupada wound up being the point man. Prabhupada was in front, you know. It was actually, to my eternal shame, we all protected ourselves. Prabhupada didn't move an inch. He took his chatter. I was thinking how Krishna, you know, before he punched Aristasura, I think it's a Keshi demon, he tied his, you know, fixed his belt. So Prabhupada threw his chatter over his shoulder and said, "Hup!" This dog turned right around and ran right back up the driveway, you know. And then Prabhupada looked at us like, you know, was that big belly, big monkey, sail on jumping melancholy. Like, what is the use of these disciples, you know? We could have dusted ourselves off and very, very chagrined, you know. And there's another tape, you can hear Prabhupada. And somehow or other Prabhupada, he's in Calcutta. And Prabhupada is talking, I guess they're at some area, I don't know where. And Prabhupada saw the Victoria Memorial. And Prabhupada says that as a child, he climbed to the top of the Victoria Memorial when the scaffolding was there, you know, as a small boy. It's very high. So one of the devotees said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you must have been very brave, you know, as a small boy to climb up that scaffolding." And you hear Prabhupada say, "Yes, and I'm still brave. Otherwise, how have I come to your country all alone?" So such fearlessness. Because we're talking about prayers. We'll end here. There is only... It says, don't ask for material things. Okay, fine, we've dealt with that. But it also says in the purport, don't ask for spiritual things. I want Vrindavan Bhajan or whatever. What is the one thing Srila Prabhupada asked his Guru Maharaj? The one question, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I only asked my Guru Maharaj one question. What was that question? How can I serve you? So the essence of prayer, the prayer with this knowledge in our mind, the prayer we should ask simply one thing, how can I serve you? And by that prayer, Krishna becomes completely captured. That is the secret. One last thing, it's a Prabhupada story, we'll end. I keep saying that, but I mean it this time. Because the question is, all right, I take this step, so many desires, so many aspirations, so many things I could ask for. Prabhupada's story is, there's a blind man, childless, and poverty-stricken. So here's the setup. Blind, poverty-stricken, and childless. And he's given one wish. And for the lawyers amongst us, there's no loophole. He can't take that one wish and ask for unlimited wishes. That's it. He has one wish. What did the man wish for? Three conditions required to be relieved, one wish. The man wished, Prabhupada said, the man wished, he said, I wish to see my children from the roof of my palace. See? I wish to see children, roof of my palace. Must be a rich man. So if we simply offer this one prayer and one prayer alone, how can I serve you? All things will come. We will become fearless and fully satisfied. Thank you for sitting so peacefully. Hare Krishna. And let the record note, we're 2 minutes early. No questions, we're time.
2 minutes. 2 minutes. It's a quick one.
All right. Because you're asking.
You were going to say that Voltaire called the priest.
Yes.
But he didn't finish it.
Oh. For whom the bell tolls. My point was that Prabhupada did not change his philosophy when faced at the time of death. Voltaire was the archetype atheist. Tend to your own garden. You know, who cares for God and his own things? Take care of your own desires. But at the time of death, maybe he saw the Yamadutas, I don't know, but he called for priests. Where Srila Prabhupada was consistent throughout his life. That was my point. Hare Krishna.